Well, hey, welcome to week two of the Live Free Journey. You know, there's not too many better places or spaces that express freedom and free living like the beauty and the expanse of the great outdoors. You know, the vastness, the limitlessness of this open space is pretty amazing, and you feel pretty free when your space is like this. Though for me, listen, any outdoor space is freeing for me. So, man, I want to tell you, it's really good to have you join us today. Whether you are in the venue or you're tuning in at home, or perhaps you're by the pool or the beach, if you're traveling around the country right now, we are excited you're here joining us today. My name's Kurt. If we haven't had a chance to meet, and if it's your first time with us, we certainly hope it's the first of many times with us here at Crosspoint. Now, let's make some noise for those in the venue today. Those of who have joined us in the room, and so excited to have you joining us here today. And let's make some noise for those tuning in at Crosspoint Online, YouTube Online, and Crosspoint On Demand. Man, so excited to have you join us today. Hey, let me pray for us before we do anything else. God, I pray you would bring a clarity to us in this moment. I also pray that you would ease our burdens. I pray that you would help my words to make sense, and that you would do what you do best, which is meeting us where we are, touching our hearts, and changing our lives. And we are looking for that from you today. We pray these things in your character, Jesus. Amen. Well, hey, if you're a note taker, I want you to take out your guidebook and write a sentence down. And if you're not a note taker, you can just kind of think this through, or you can type this out on your phone. Here's the sentence right here. The thing that God wants is, how would you fill in the blank on that right there? What would you say on a normal day? What would your answer to that be? What God wants is for me to be moral. The thing God wants for me is to get to heaven. The thing God wants is to be in control. Perhaps the thing God wants is for me to be happy. What is it? What is the thing you think God wants? Take a moment, write that down, and then I'll be back with you here in just a moment. Think about what you wrote right there. Whatever you say to that question, that actually says much more about you than it does about God. In fact, I know for me, there are various points in my life where I have answered that question a whole bunch of different ways. In fact, there was probably a season in my life where I would have said the thing that God wants is for me to get to heaven. And everything that I read, everything I communicated, really the lens through which I saw all of life was through that lens. You know, how do you know how to get there? Who gets to heaven? How do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Who doesn't get to heaven? And can I lose my salvation and perhaps not get there myself? You know, there was another season in my life where I probably would have said the thing that God wants for me is to realize that, man, if you're following Jesus, you are a boring person, because it just seemed like everybody I knew at that season in my life that was following God, their face looked awful. I mean, I would see them and I'd be like, dude, do you have the joy of God in you? If yes, then man, tell your face, because it feels like you're always down. You need to show that joy that's inside of you. There's probably another season that for me, it would have been about, okay, God wants me to be moral. What's right? What's wrong? How do I know? How do I know what it means to please God? And you know, honestly, all of these things have some level of truth in them. But you know, what I see right now, the whole point of Jesus and the overarching story of God is for you and I to be free. He wants you to live free. And this is the overall perspective of the life of Jesus. You know, a kite really is an amazing flying contraption. I mean, I can control that thing up in the air just right here. And one would think that if you're really gonna free this kite up, I mean, if you're gonna give this kite complete freedom, you just let go of the string and let it go wherever it may. But for anybody who's ever flown a kite, you know that is not the case. You know the kite is at its best. In fact, it performs at its best when it's tethered to an appropriate tension. And see, you and I are the same. Now, the reality is all of us are tethered to something. In fact, you are tethered to something. And what I want us to see today is that Jesus is a freedom giver. And when you're tethered to Jesus, man, I tell you what, life begins to take off. If you're tethered to anything other than Jesus, I'm gonna tell you, you're probably not soaring. You're probably not going to the kind of places he wants you to go to and to take you to places that you were created for, and you're feeling tied down, which is pretty fascinating because, you know, we tend to think if I get closer to God, he's going to restrict me. He's going to constrict me. I'm gonna feel like I am just not able to do what I want. I'm gonna feel tied down. And yet what often happens is we fall into this kind kind of misguided belief that real freedom really has to do with doing whatever I want, kind of living this unhitched existence where I'm free to go wherever I want to do and kind of roam all over the place. And yet, we all know that a certain form of freedom is that kind of freedom, but we're really not free at all. In fact, if you remember being a kid, I mean, you thought that being free was doing whatever you wanted to do, but we realized that actually doesn't make me free. In fact, if you tell a kid, hey, you can go to bed anytime you want, you don't need any guidelines, just figure it out, that kid won't be able to discipline themselves. He probably will go to bed way too late. He won't be able to wake up on time. He's going to be tired all day the next day. That's going to result in not having good grades, which is going to reduce his opportunities later in life. Probably going to end up in a homeless shelter for his entire life, right? Perhaps that's a little of an overstatement, but we know how this goes. I don't know if you remember the old shock jock, a guy by the name of Howard Stern. Saw an article on him recently. He always kind of epitomized the ultimate picture of freedom, right? I mean, it's like, man, to be Howard Stern, I mean, if I had that much money, I would be free, right? Apparently he can do whatever he wants. He can go wherever he wants, and he definitely says whatever he wants, and he can do and talk about all kinds of things, even sexual things, and he gets paid for it. But you know, when it comes to Howard Stern, if you know anything about him, he is definitely not free. In fact, he's a germaphobe. I don't know how you do all that sexual stuff he's talking about when you're a germaphobe. He doesn't want to touch anything. He doesn't want to touch anyone. He regularly turns down opportunities to experience anything outside of his hometown because he has a fear of flying. Listen, the dude has been bunkered up since the start of 2020 when the pandemic began. In fact, an article came out last week that said he went to lunch for the very first time with friends because he's been living in a bunker for 2.5 years. The dude is definitely not free. Now, contrary to what we so often believe, we are the most free when we are tethered to something that champions your freedom and my freedom. It's actually that tethering that gives us the tension that we need, and it's that tension that allows us to soar. In fact, in the story of God, we see this over and over and over again. Last week, we looked at this in Genesis, how we're free to multiply, reproduce, you know, have sex, enjoy it, to plant things, to name the animals. We see the nation of Israel is in bondage. And we see this Christ-like figure by the name of Moses. He comes to free them. He comes to establish a code of how to operate, how to honor one another. And yet, the nation of Israel is consistently in and out of exile. They're consistently in and out of bondage, bondage in and out of bondage to the Egyptians, in and out of bondage to the Babylonians, because they can't stay tethered to God because they want to continue to go offline and they want to do it their way. Then, in the New Testament, we see Jesus come along, who is the Savior figure, and he's actually the fulfillment of what Moses was modeling. He is truly the Savior of the world. And so for 30 years, he goes about preparing to be Savior. He grows up in his parents' house. He learns what it means to be a builder. Probably goes to rabbi school, as every kid would have started in. He continues on. He gets baptized. Right before he goes public with his ministry, he goes in the desert for 40 days where he's tempted. And all of this is happening in order for him to be sharpened. And he comes out, and the very first thing he does is declare himself by quoting an Old Testament prophet, and he applies that prophet's words to himself, and he says this, as the Gospel of Luke shares with us. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, what he's saying is if you're oppressed in any way, shape, or form, hey, I want you to know I am here to set you free. This is the rally cry of why Jesus is here. And this is how he cheerleads your freedom. And let me tell you something, he's been doing it ever since. See, I believe he wants to do some freeing work today. And I think the question is, will we tether to him, or will we continue to be tethered to the things we know, the things that are comfortable, the things that perhaps we just find familiar? Now, one of the best ways to see this tethering process is in those who are experiencing a real physical bondage, and they know it. So we've got our production team here with us, and I want us to go spend a little time with some amazing people. In fact, this is one of our mission partners, a group by the name of Grace Horizon, which you may know them better by their former name, which was Stripped of Love. Grace Horizon is a community of survivors right here in central Indiana, and they're supporting each other in the recovery process, recovering from violence, from exploitation, including sex trafficking and sexual exploitation. So we're gonna head up the road to Anderson, Indiana, not too far from here, and I want us to get a glimpse not only of the great work that they're doing, but because I don't know that there's a clearer way to see how this transformation process plays out than in those who are walking this out day in, day out from one of our modern day forms of slavery. And in doing so, my hope is we get a real picture of the place of freedom that perhaps he wants to take every single one of us to. So come on, let's go. Well, hey, Crosspoint, we are here at Grace Horizon, one of our ministry partners, and I want to introduce you to Audrey Wieger, who is the director here. Audrey, tell us a bit of what you do.
Yeah, so Grace Horizon is a community of survivors. We support each other in recovery from violence and exploitation, and that includes the sex trafficking and sexual exploitation piece. But we do a lot of different things programming-wise, but all of those things are centered around relationship, recovery, and resource support.
Awesome. And many of you probably knew Grace Horizon, formerly known as Stripped Love.
Right.
This was a shift that took place really because you're trying to give a vision for where women are heading.
Yes.
Explain that to us.
Yeah. So in my first year, so I started in January of 2021, and in my first year here, I noticed that the participants didn't really use our name, and so I started asking questions, of course, because I'm curious like that. And they said, you know, the vision and mission of Stripped Love is so specific that if we admit to being a part of this community, our story is really outed in the community, which becomes actually dangerous for them to be re-recruited into situations of trafficking or to be re-exploited in some way. So we said, oh, that's really not serving our population of folks very well, and so we decided to change towards Grace Horizon, partly because, yeah, the work of hope that we do, really, right? It's looking toward the horizon. It is seeing what the next possible thing is. It's allowing women to dream for the first time sometimes in their lives and working then towards those things.
So we're in a journey, and as we're talking about the transformation God does in us, you guys walk something out that is really a spiritual principle that applies to all us. I mean, it applies specifically to the women that you are serving, but these are the four turns of grace. Explain each of these to us.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have four turns towards grace. One is stability. I mean, I think that probably is kind of obvious in terms of we want to make sure that we're self-sustaining, that we've got a job or education or whatever those next steps are, right? But it also could be stability in relationships. Maybe it's emotional stability that you need or something along those lines that you're working on. So that's one turn towards grace. The second one is this turn from to self-care and boundaries. So many of the women that we have are really generous, but generous to a fault, and so they're giving away more than really what they have to be able to make themselves sustainable long term. And so helping them to understand, like, I'm worth it to take care of myself, and that I'm allowed to say no, and I'm allowed to put up boundaries to help myself stay healthy is a really cool piece of what we get to do. The third one is healthy spirituality. And so the reason we say healthy spirituality is because it gives a larger umbrella. So many of the women that we work with have actually been really hurt and traumatized by Christians, unfortunately. And so making sure that we understand, hey, we need to be anchored in something that is rooted in love and compassion without giving that necessarily the name of Jesus is really helpful. And then the last one is generosity. And so, you know, again, so many of the women are really generous, but helping them to understand what does generosity look like in a sustainable way is something that we can move toward.
You know, one of the cool things that you guys do is in the transformation process, it's not just one day I decide to make a turn and it all falls into place.
Right.
It's an ongoing process, but there is an untethering, if you will, or an untatching from the things that perhaps keep me where I am, keep me tied down, allow me to not be free. But it's not just a free flying where I'm not attached to anything.
Right.
We think that's true freedom. Freedom really comes when we attach to things that actually bring us life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's any better place to see how that process takes place than some of the work you guys are doing. What does that look like?
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, transformation is a kind of a slow process, a slow turn, if you will. And so many times we are kind of, yeah, untethering or letting go of these things that really don't serve us anymore. I think, you know, one of the easiest places to see this is in our turn towards self-care and boundaries, because we have women, like I said, who are just incredibly generous and you know, they'll give their last $50 to their friend's baby daddy who wants to call his son from prison for, you know, his birthday or something like that, but then they're not able to pay the light bill or something like that. And so untethering from this old idea of, you know, self-sacrifice in like a really negative way to something that says like, oh yeah, I can take care of myself in this way, and I'm allowed to say no to these things, and I'm allowed to have things for myself, some of those sorts of things, is really helpful for them. But yeah, it's definitely a walk of grace, right? Because there's moments where we get it, and then there's moments where we just fall flat on our face. I love the line that says, healing is not linear, you know, it's like this, right? Yes, you're going up and down, and you're trying new things, you're trying new skills. So many times for the women, you know, they have had these skills that have really served them because they've helped them survive until this point. But then there comes a point where those skills don't really serve them anymore. And so then it's time to let go of those things so that way you can take hold of new skills and walk that out.
So you have a phrase that I love called sticky feet. Explain this to us, because this is so real in our lives. We think we get free, and then we find out all of a sudden we're not free again.
Yeah.
How's that work?
Yeah, well, so I love the image of, yeah, that we have sticky feet. And as we're walking through life, it's just like, you know, have you ever walked through a field of mud? Mm-hmm. And in your boots, you know, it's just like things are just clinging to you, and it just gets heavier and heavier. And, you know, I think that's so true in our lives too. We kind of pick up these things that we don't even realize that we're picking up, and then all of a sudden we come to a place and we say, oh, this, why is this so hard? Why is this so heavy? And then it's at that point that we get to ask Jesus, hey, Jesus, would you wash my feet, right? Because he's the one who frees us and brings us back to what is true in our lives, and to say, oh, you know, you don't need to hold on to that anymore. Or, you know, you thought that this piece was a part of identity for you, but it's not. You're a child of God, you don't have to perform, or whatever it is, you know. I was thinking about this untethering process and how, again, so many times there's pieces that we pick up in our lives that then really do become a part of our identity, and we think, you know, this is who I am, and so often we give that as an excuse for not changing. But really, the process that Christ invites us into is to let go of those things. And again, like you said, to be tethered to what God has for us. So I think about, like, with so many of the women that we work with, one of those identity pieces at their core is this idea that they're fundamentally unlovable. And so when people show up consistently in life for them, when they give gifts without strings attached, when people set boundaries with people in their lives, usually it really makes them mad at first, but then they come to appreciate it, really. And it's through all of those actions that they start to realize, oh yeah, I am lovable, and maybe I can let go of this lie in my life that says I'm fundamentally unlovable, and start to take hold of something new that means being anchored in love.
And what is the character traits you begin to see in them? What are the expressions of that you begin to see?
So I think it really manifests in their bodies and in their body language towards us. So I can't tell you how many times this has happened, that a woman has come in, is, you know, hunched shoulders, is looking down, is not making eye contact, is soft-spoken, really just, you know, kind of closed off to the world, mostly because she's been hurt so much. But then as we go in relationship with these women, their shoulders start to come back, their heads start to come up, they start to look us in the eye, they start to speak up, because they know their voice is valued and that we're gonna listen to them and make changes based on, you know, the feedback that they give us. And it's just an entirely different posture. So it's really a cool transformation to see, and a really beautiful part of the work that we get to support. You know, because it's not us doing the work, it's them doing the work. It's them being untethered from those old ideas and from those old skill sets, and really stepping in a really courageous way into something new.
Wow, I love what Audrey just said right there. Living free is being untethered from old ideas and stepping in a courageous way into something new. Wow, I think that's what God wants for every single one of us. Hey, let's make some noise for Audrey and her team, man. Thank you. Let's thank them for the fantastic work they're doing and the lives that are being touched and changed by the way they're serving these women. Now, quick recap on something we looked at last week. The Apostle Paul, he reminded us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Not where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's moral people. Not where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's Republicans or Democrats. Not where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's people who do decent stuff. Not where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's people who have it all together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, this thing runs throughout the entire Bible. I mean, this is not a sub-theme. This is the theme. This is the lens through which we can view the entire work of God throughout the ages. It's the lens through which we can see everything God wants for your life and for mine. And just like these women at Grace Horizon, really the beginning of freedom is when we begin to see that we're in bondage. When you see that you're in bondage, when you begin to see that, oh my gosh, there are things I'm tied to, there are things that are holding me back, that are taking away my passion, my joy. The only way to get to a new place is to admit that I'm actually tied down. In fact, Jesus talked about this on a number of occasions. In fact, here's one moment from the Gospel of John, chapter 8. He said to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold on to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him and said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, and he said, truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I mean, what Jesus is saying right here is, hey, good news. He said, I'm not coming to bring a new oppression to you. Isn't that amazing news? He says, I'm coming to actually set you free. And so this is fascinating because Abraham's descendants, they're like, what do you mean? We've never been in bondage. I don't know if you know this or not, but we don't need to be set free. And it's like, hello, McFly, seriously, your whole history is about bondage. Your whole history is about slavery. And see, this is what pride does. It gives us this illusion that we're free, and we're not. We're in bondage. And Jesus gets all amped up about this. He's like, listen, anyone who has sinned, meaning anybody who's missed the mark, which is all of us, by the way, you're tied down. You're not free. You have a bondage. There's a bondage to your own issues. There's a bondage to your own selfishness, to your own pain. I mean, there's memories that you have from the past that are painful. This is something Jesus wants to meet us in. You know, but Jesus says, when you're tethered to me, you're tethered to someone who champions your freedom. And just like this kite, you know, you think you're free when you're just free to go and do whatever you want. But Jesus says, no, when you attach yourself to me, you're going to experience freedom. Anything else, you're going to be weighed down. You are not going to fly the way I designed you to fly. Now, I know what some of us are thinking. You're like, I'm not in bondage to anything. Come on, please, don't you see it? I don't know what it is for you. Perhaps for you, it's parental expectations. Maybe your family of origin has still all kinds of expectations for you. Maybe for you, it's that you're never happy until you have the perfect Hallmark picture of a family. Or maybe for you, it's that you have to get back to that size 4, that size 32 waist. Or maybe it's like, until my kids have a great paying job, I'm not going to be a successful parent. Or, you know, you might still be trying to prove that your parents were wrong on some front. Or it even could be something that happened to you when you were 11 years old that should have never, ever happened, but the painful memories keep you from being free. I don't know what it is. All of us are tethered to something, and the start of freedom is when we begin to see that we are in bondage. And this is why what Jesus taught is so remarkable. I mean, there are so many things that he said. Here's one right here. He said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And guess what he said? He said, I'm going to give you rest. He says, take my yoke and you're going to find, just breathe this in for a moment right here. It's so amazing. He says, I will give you rest. He says, I'm going to give you satisfaction for your souls. I tell you what, that's something we need to breathe in. He says, if you follow me, I will lead you into a full life, an abundant life, a fulfilling life like you have never experienced. See, being tied to Jesus is a yoke that's bearable. He says, when you tether to me, listen, you're going to fly. I'm not going to put unrealistic expectations on you. I will not beat you down. I will not punish you for your past mistakes. In fact, if you're still not seeing this, here's one more. Let me give you one more picture of how my Heavenly Father, I mean, this Heavenly Father I've come to know, this freedom giver, how he rolls. Here's a picture from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd, they rebuked these two men and told them to be quiet. But this just made the men shout all the louder. "Lord, Son of David," they said, "have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and he called to them and he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and he touched their eyes, and immediately they received sight and they followed him. This is so amazing to me. I love that he asked the question right here. He's like, "What is it? What is it? What is it that you want me to do for you?" And of course, we're sitting here going, "Come on, Jesus, like, look at their eyes. Can you not see that they're cross-eyed? Can you not see that they're blind?" Nonetheless, he asked the question. He says, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" You see, if Jesus were to stop and ask you this question, would you know? I mean, are you aware of what has you in bondage? Could you articulate it? You know, this week in your guide, you're going to drill down a bit on this issue. You're going to drill down on what are the places I'm in bondage. You're going to give yourself the gift of self-knowledge as you work through the guidebook this week. See, these two guys, they knew. They're like, "We want to see," and bam, immediately he heals them. I want you to think about that question. What do you want me to do for you? In fact, I'd ask it a different way. What chains are you carrying around right now? What things do you think perhaps are always going to be a part of your life? You know, God wants nothing more than to bring freedom to you right here, right now. If he were here in the flesh, I think he'd say to you, "What is it you want me to do for you?" In fact, I just want you to reflect on that for a moment. Let's just sit in this moment right here and see what our Heavenly Father brings to our minds. He communicates with us. Let's see perhaps where he wants you, even yet today, to begin to live more free.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind.
So let me ask you, what chains are you carrying right now? You know, Jesus is here, and his question to you is, what do you want me to do for you? And there's a freedom available to you right now. In fact, I want to pray for all of us toward that end. Let's pray together. You know, Heavenly Father, some of us are realizing right now that there's a yoke, or maybe being sensitized for the first time, there's a yoke that we've been carrying, and it's a heavy yoke. It's a heavy yoke. It's a heavy burden. It feels like we're just on this treadmill that doesn't stop. And you assure us that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And so we want to invite you to take over our yoke, and we want to take on your yoke. In fact, for some of us, maybe for the very first time, we want to receive from you. We want to receive your grace. We want to receive your way. And we can do that by simply just saying, yes, Jesus, I want to know your grace. I want to know your goodness in my life. Perhaps we've known you, and yet we've picked up some burdens and some heaviness, and we just, again, want to transfer that to you. So right now, I just ask that we would be able to receive from you, that we would experience your freedom and all that you have for us. And we don't even fully know what that means for tomorrow, but we know you're going to lead us one step at a time. And so, Jesus, thank you for inviting us into a different way of living, a different way of life, a way that's easy and light, and where we're free. Amen. You know, whatever you said in that moment, if it was the intent of your heart to receive and kind of transfer that yoke to Jesus and receive his way of life, you need to know he knows your heart. In fact, we want to pray for you before we go today. There's a song we're going to sing. We're going to speak the name of Jesus over you. In a sense, there's a power that comes with the name of Jesus. And so we're going to sing this together. I want to invite you to stand with us. And in this moment, as we do this, get ready. Get ready for there to be a new way of living this week. And get ready to see some new things and to walk into a new freedom. Let's go.